Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
What is going on in the Bronx tonight? The Yankees are getting thumped by the Rays 8-2 as the Yankees bat in the bottom of the eighth inning. And it has been not exactly what the Yankees had in mind to start this season. All right, Michael Wacha was throwing a one-hitter for a long time. He was having a terrible season so far. The Yankees get booed off the field a couple of times. When the game ends, we can bring you that audio. It's unbelievable. We told you before the season, and I can double down on it now, if the Yankees are struggling, meaning they're under 500, they're not competing in a loaded AL East, by June 1st, someone else besides Aaron Boone is managing the Yankees. He is under more pressure than anybody else in Major League Baseball because the Yankees, in theory, have everything. Even though they don't, their pitching staff behind Gerrit Cole is not as great, but they have all the when are they going to put it all together, right? You have all the all-stars in your lineup. You have guys coming off of batting titles, and you have all the studs you need. When are you going to put it all together? And it's the time where, okay, Aaron Boone's had some years. He's had some chances. The Yankees eventually have to start winning, and they're not going to go through this season and have it be another one of, well, maybe we'll start getting it midway through the season. When you fire a manager and your team has talent, the team always takes off because this is the players that are put on notice. And if the Yankees are struggling, if they're sitting here, you know, 5 or 7 games under 500, even though if you're like that in June, it's okay because Major League Baseball with a couple of wild cards, all right, just be around 500 at the end of August and you can get in the playoffs. But that's not going to be enough. The pressure on Aaron Boone is immense. He will be the first manager fired. It'll happen the beginning of June if the Yankees aren't playing. He's got 2 months to get the Yankees at least in contention, to keep him in contention in the AL East and in the American League. If not, he's going to pay the price.
My man, I want to hug you because, you know, we get into the everybody loves early MVP talk. You're already just firing people. You're 2 weeks in. You know what? And you said it before the season. So, you know, those that listen to the show know that this was referenced weeks before these things kicked off, with opening day and what are we, 12, 13 games in for a lot of these squads. You were calling for his ouster early. So I want to know what kind of bad things he did to you in his playing career, fantasy failures or something like that. But for the Yankees, it's all on Judge and Stanton. Regardless of what the rest is. Like, you want to focus on the pitching staff. Nobody's focused on the pitching staff. That's something you and I do because we're nerds and we go deeper. It's the, hey, are these two guys in the lineup? Because if these two guys are in the lineup, then it becomes a, all right, you've got enough talent that you should be winning. And that's the problem, is over the course of 162, what's going to be that end game in terms of their over-under? I bet you could probably actually get bets more on their over-under of playing than anywhere else. But as of now, you've got Stanton hitting .175. Nice. Torres is hitting .220. Hicks is hitting .179. The Judge is at least hitting .308, so you're at least getting a little bit of juice out of him, and he's putting the ball in play, only 8 strikeouts. Good on him. You hang a star on that stat for you. But as a team, you're hitting .231. So first, you've got to go through the charade of firing the hitting coach.
I don't know about that. The Yankees don't do things like that. The Yankees are, who is responsible for this? Where is he?
No,
that's the man.
No. That was Big Stein. No, that was Big Stein. It's a different Yankee world.
No, it's not. Look, the pressure to win and the pressure on Cashman, the pressure on everybody to succeed is just way too much. Look, the Yankees
Cashman,
have had chances.
Certainly.
Well, Cashman's a guy. I got you the players. I mean, you got to do it, right? I got you all the guys. You have everything you need. I went out. I spent money. I got everybody. Look, I'm not saying Aaron Boone is the guy that's responsible, but what happens when a team underachieves? You don't trade
Can't
the star player.
Everybody.
They're not going to trade Aaron Judge away. They're not going to trade Aaron Judge to the Astros and say, let's get this guy out of here.
Michael K. would revolt.
That's how it goes, and that's how it will go in New York. Look, Aaron Boone has been there long enough. And the team has been good. They've competed. They make the playoffs every year. But the stakes are always higher. The stakes are always higher with the Yankees than they are anyplace else. So now here he is now in you know, a guy that replaced Joe Girardi because he didn't win enough. And he's been the manager since 2018. And they've had this talented group. And they've not gotten to the World Series. And if they're going backwards, well, guess what? He's going to be the guy. Look, they were great in 2018 and 2019. They won 100 games. They were terrific. But they lose in the ALDS. They lost in the ALCS. They lost in the ALDS coming off of the short season last year. They're not getting far enough. Most teams would be happy as hell to have this. Hey, I'm happy we're in the ALDS, ALCS. The Yankees are different. And it's we have not been achieving as we have been supposed to. Had they gotten to a World Series by now, even if they lost, okay, things would still be all right. Look, they got there. This is a group. Now they got to get there and win. But this is, we've fallen short now. All right, we won 103 games in 2019. We lost in the ALCS. We got to get to the World Series. We backslid last year a little bit. We're only 6 games over .500. You know, we lost in the ALDS. So what are we doing? If they're under .500, they're not going in the right direction. He's going to be the guy to pay. And again, you can argue whether or not he deserves to, but this is just how it works. Look, I know how the Yankees work. I've watched them do this for 45 years. They stuck with Joe Girardi for a long ass time. But now Joe Girardi didn't always have the great players, and he won a World Series, so he had a little bit more rope. Aaron Boone doesn't have that.
You know what's funny is to this point they've pitched you a 3.3 ERA composite.
Yeah.
And we're talking about kicking the guy out.
Yeah, that's how, I mean, I'm sorry. That's
I love
how
it
is.
It's so funny.
What about the underachieving pitching? Fantastic. Yeah, we've actually been okay.
No, they're pitching to a 333. Now, you know, like they're giving up the long ball. I mean, Germán's given up 4 home runs already. I mean, that's problematic. But look, other than that,
they get work tonight. They were down 8-0, another night where the Yankees are now going to be 5-8. They go into the ninth inning. They're down 8-2, and it's going to be another okay. What's going on? Even though okay, 5-8 is not awful. Everything is okay. We're good. No. 5-8's not good. I'm telling you, June first. They're not going to wait till the All-Star break. No. June 1st going to be that date, and it's going to be somebody else.
I'm glad you don't own any businesses. Be firing fools left and right.
Oh, I'd be a great GM. You perform right away or you're out, man. You're out. I'm sorry.
What if you had performance anxiety?
I'd be just like Jonah Hill when he had to tell Carlos Pena he was traded. Carlos, you've been traded to the Tigers. Anything else? No. Here's a number of, you know, Joe Dale in Detroit. He's expecting your phone call. All right, we're moving on.
Pretty impressively, we have gotten Moneyball into the show, I think, every day this week.
Yeah, well, look, it's baseball. I mean, really.
They didn't win. And they conveniently forgot that they had really good pitching in that movie.
But remember, you had the metaphor at the end where the guy had the home run, but he fell down. He didn't know. And then, you know, Jonah Hill had to say it's a metaphor. And Billy Beane says, I understand the metaphor. I get it. No, they did win. They changed the game. The Yankees aren't changing the game.
Change the game is the White Sox mantra. Don't go trying to put it on any of these other squads. What are you doing?
Telling you, man, watch out. It is Aaron Boone that's going to pay the price if the Yankees are struggling. Wow. There is no patience. The fans are already booing the team off the field.
Good.
It's game 13.
They were locked in their homes for a year.
Booing them off the field.
They might be booing the politicians, as far as you know, reading the next headline of some nonsense that's happened in the greater state of New York.
Hey, listen, I've been spending most of my time booing people when they're on CNN and Fox News, right? I'm ready to boo some people for real, okay?
That's right.
Let me get out to a game so I can do this. It's tough booing the television when I see somebody come on who's giving me an opinion about what's going on in politics. I mean, I still boo them, but, you know, it's not the same thing as, like, seeing Judge strike out or, you know, that bleep Sanchez do something that he's not supposed to be doing, you know? I mean,
what did I tell you? Folks were going to come out angrier. Yeah, they're appreciative to be at the ballpark, but they've been waiting to yell at someone for a while. They've been contained. I mean, how much can you yell at your family? At some point, they don't hear you. I can't hear you. No, I'm done. Now they tune you out, right? The kids put in their earbuds and walk away. Your significant other puts in an earbud and walks away. They flip you off and they go into another room and turn on the TV a little bit louder.
That doesn't happen in my house. I'm sorry that happens in yours.
Just talking in general.
Blank you, Dad. I'm putting my headphones in. All right. Have a good day. Enjoy school.
Well,
blank you, Dad. Slam the door.
I'm glad you're the one guy that didn't have any stress in your house over the last year. Congratulations. Everybody else want to congratulate Jason at How About a Fresca that he was able to go dancing and lollipopping and traversing around L.A. and Arizona during this. And everybody's happy and nobody had an issue.
I didn't have people saying blank you, Dad, putting headphones in and slamming the door on me. I just didn't have that.
Well, then you're the one. God
right.
bless you.
Have a great
for
day.
For everybody
kid.
Else, they're excited to be back out and about to be able to yell blank you to anybody that does them wrong on the baseball diamond. So I think perhaps a little bit of an overreaction.
Hey, how'd you do on your test? Okay, I'll talk to you later. All right, have a good day. Have a good day.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline for all your big NFL needs, NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire Jay Glazer. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. And speaking of Twitter, I here's the thing. I really want to tell this story that Jay has about something that just happened with him and Dwayne Johnson. I also wanted to play the audio on the air, but I can't. Because there's too many four-letter words. So, Jay Glazer, you have to tell this story of what happened with you and Dwayne Johnson because it's too many bleeps for us to do it.
Well, that's only because of my mouth, yeah. But, no, hey, look, it's great when my friends are very successful, right? And the more success they have, the more free stuff I get.
Right, that's good.
So a guy like Dwayne came out with a terrible amount of tequila. My friend Guy Fieri came out with Santo tequila. So, yeah, I'm always hitting them up for free stuff. And the thing about Dwayne's tequila is you can't find it anywhere. You can't get it. So, yeah, I call him and I guilt him. And then all of a sudden, man, a couple cases show up right at the house with
nice.
A lovely letter of plays. Here's your Terramana. Hope you enjoy. Love you. P.S. Blank off.
Yeah.
I'd have that framed on my wall.
So then I hit him up about it. And I said, oh, dude, that's great. Can I post that? He goes, absolutely. He said, the best thing, because he's like, I don't write it. You could see it. His penmanship. It's like somebody with like real penmanship, not us children. So he's like, I call the office and tell them what to, you know, put on it. And he said, that was the second draft. The first draft was so bad. And the people in the office, I think it was on speaker, they're like, oh, my God, this is your friend? He is just murdering me. And then he's like, all right, scrap that. Let's do one that he could post. Just blank off, yeah.
Just put one four-letter word in. Just put one four-letter word, and that's it. Just put one of those in.
He didn't show me the first one, but he described it. It was pretty bad. but very deserving, I might add.
All right. Hey, and here's the other thing, too, is I felt like we kind of had to have a two-man intervention here on you for something else you posted on social media. Jay, I don't know about training with Lane Johnson. I mean, I don't know about that, man. I don't know that that's going to end well for you. You put video up, and I was nervous for you the entire time.
Yeah, you know, look, I started training with Lane years ago, and, man, Lane actually lived in my guest room for, like, the first 4 months, and it was me and my son. And, the guest room's at my house. People over the years, fighters and football players, they've come, they've stayed in there. No problem. You guys can stay in here. We got guys in fight camp. They stay in there. No problem. But Lane, you know, me, I'm a little 5'7" dude. My son was a little guy. And Lane goes, man, I feel like I'm freaking Gandalf out here with the hobbits. And it just stuck. but the thing about Lane, and I realized it, like, he came out. Yeah, we wrestled. We got after it. Me, him. John Runyon Jr., Eric Wilson, and Justin Reed for the Texans. Who else is there? We had a pretty good group. And that's my sickness, man. I can't stop. Man, I'm 51 years old, and I can't stop wrestling with these guys and doing this stuff. And what I totally forgot, because I'm just kind of in it, is that's the first time Eagles fans have seen him since, like, reconstructed ankle surgery. And, man, is he moving around. He's doing everything. Like, his ankle's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It's like the size of his head, and he's moving around. And look, the way we wrestle, we do Greco-Roman wrestling for these linemen because Greco-Roman wrestling is all upper body. You can't touch below the waist. And same with those guys. It's not like they can go down and, you know, grab anybody. So it's all body-on-body work, but we're constantly pressuring you. And I tell these guys all the time, there's nothing better than body-on-body work because that's what you guys do. And listen, you could bench press 500 pounds, but if you can't move – you know, somebody else, when you put your hands on them, what's the sense? So let's be functional. So there's no better training for an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman than Greco-Roman wrestling, something called pummeling, which we've done thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of. It's, man, it's just, you really understand how the human body works, and it's all leverage. You got to get low and get under people. And, man, the first day Lane came out, 4 years ago, whatever it was, 5 years ago, no, I think he's in his, what's he in his now, his ninth year? So maybe it's, yeah, it's about 5 years ago. Yeah. It's his third season. He came out, and the very first day, Randy Couture made him throw up 8 times. Just by doing this.
Wow.
8 times in a day. And like, but he kept going outside, throwing up, coming back in. Kept going outside, throwing up, coming back in. Now, it's not because we were trying. It's because Lane had just never done this type of training. And then, but now all of a sudden, man, he can go. And I tell these guys, we're going to go 3-minute rounds. We're going to work you up to do a 3-minute round with a 1-minute break. If you could do this for a 3-minute round with a 1-minute break, you damn sure could do a 6-second round or an 8-second round out there in the football field with a 1-minute break, which is what it is. So we try and equate it to what's between their ears a lot. And Lane, as much as probably anybody we've ever trained, has him and probably Andrew Whitworth have really taken the, and Kyle Long, the fighter mentality and what we try and teach and equate, and that kind of that warrior in between the ears, and they've equated it to their game is, man, probably best of anybody we've trained.
Our guy Jay Glazer with us live from the Shire, fired up.
It did suck training. It did suck wrestling him, no doubt. And
oh,
I
there's no
my back cleaned up last week too.
Yeah, no, that'll keep you moving. But the excitement in your voice—it's draft season, and you're able to get back to the gym. The two things that feed your soul,
no
Jay
doubt.
Glazer. So as we got all these second pro days rolling on, what are we to take away from this other than, well, the evaluation's not over. What am I missing?
Of what? I didn't hear what you said.
Well, just as we're looking at second pro days, I mean, obviously it's an unusual year, so we really haven't seen these before. But now we've got to read through all the subterfuge and tea leaves, perhaps more misdirection up there than we've seen in years past.
No, there's always subterfuge and no, absolutely. I mean, listen, there was no more subterfuge and misdirection than 2 years ago when Bears traded up one pick for Mitch Trubisky. You'll never see more than that. Right, and then wait, there was 1 year the Chiefs, everybody had them taking. Oh man, I think it was Luke Jokela at one.
Yeah, sure.
Right, and then the night before the draft, I get a call on there. They're like, "We're going Eric Fisher." I'm like, "Come on, you're messing with me. I promise you, we're going Eric Fisher." And I'm like, "I could put that out." And I had to ask like 4 more people, and they're like, "We're the ones that make the decision. We're not messing with you." And I bought into all the subterfuge of the draft, also. When this was going on, I'm like, wow. So even me, like the night before the draft, I wasn't comfortable going with the scoop, and I'm getting it from the people making the decision.
Right.
And like, so yeah, you get, and like, one thing I don't do is a mock draft. And I don't do a mock draft because I don't want to lie to our listeners and the fans out there. So if somebody says, hey, Glaze, we're going to do this, well, man, you can't tell anybody, but just this is what we're going to do. Let us know. If we can move down for the guy, we got to move up for the guy, whatever. But you can't do – well, again, or they could say to me, we're not telling you who we're going to take. So what would you rather? I'd rather know who they're going to take. I could use it on Fox Sports Radio. When we're you know, first round, everybody lets me go. They let me loose. So that's where you'll listen to Fox Sports Radio. And I'm – man, I got all this stuff that I've been told that I could just kind of unleash, you know, during the first round as long as it – you know, like strategically, right? Where I'm not going to ruin someone going, oh, at 15, such and such, you can take there. And people listen to me go, oh, we got to jump up to 14. I can't do that if they trust me with that. But at the same token, I try not to read other people's mock drafts because then I start getting swayed with subterfuge. Because again, if I know this dude's telling me, hey, at number 5, we're doing this, and then I'm reading all these mocks, I actually did it to someone last year. I'm like, I know you're telling me this. Why is everybody you saying you're taking this guy? And this coach is like, why are you listening to mock drafts over me who's taking the pick? He's like, how about we're just doing a really good job of throwing everybody off? I'm like, yeah, but everybody's saying it. He's like, are we really having this conversation? So it's, yeah, there's a lot that goes in.
Now, while that
it's
goes
great.
On,
I love this time of year.
Oh, it's
my
look,
favorite time.
I can't get over how every day is a big conversation about Justin Fields or Mac Jones. And, you know, that's the one thing I want to know is, are the teams really all in? Do they really believe in all these quarterbacks that are going to wind up going 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 maybe?
Well, here's what happens. When you don't have a quarterback, life sucks in this league. So you start convincing yourself that somebody is the next whatever. And, look, there are people are trying to say that, like, there could be a comparison with Wilson and Lawrence, and there's not. There's not, right? Lawrence has done it for a lot longer. We know what he is, but we start. It's the great George Young, who's my mentor, who's the GM of the Giants. It's called paralysis by overanalysis. You know what's good, but then you start diving more and more and more and more, and you start almost outthinking yourself. But again, when you don't have a quarterback, you really start pushing guys' grades up, like guys are so much better because you want to convince yourself you signed your savior. But at the same right, like, man, a guy like Patrick Mahomes a few years ago, he was so under the radar with everybody else, but the Cardinals were going to take him. The Saints were trying to move up for him. The Chiefs are moving up. Like, literally, it was like that 48 hours before the draft. That's when I started hearing who's really flying up and who's going to move down and who, like, you really start hearing it. And believe it or not, these teams do not set their draft board until a couple days before the draft. So everything you hear right now about teams' draft boards, where they are, it's absolute full of crap. Nobody, it's all wrong. They all set their draft boards. And I'll tell you another good one. The Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if I told you the guys this one in the past. Dallas Cowboys, Bill Parcells is there. Jeff Ireland's basically doing the draft for them. And, man, they had zeroed in on Sean Merriman. He was going to be their guy. They had 2 picks that year. The second one they were going to use on Marcus Spears. Parcells really wants to use that early pick on Marcus Spears. And this is where I kind of come and they'll call and go, hey, where are you hearing Marcus Spears' name? I'm like, hey, you guys can get him in the second one. And so they want to go with this pass rusher. And Merriman was the guy. Okay, so for the last several months, it was Sean Merriman. The morning of the draft, I get a call from somebody in Dallas. They go, hey, man, we got some concerns about Sean. I think we're going to pull off and go with DeMarcus Ware. I said, you guys have had all these months and all these days, and you set your board the other day. I said, I know. I said, aren't you supposed to be convicted in your board? They said, we're supposed to be. We're not. We're making a switch. And they switched the morning of the draft from Sean Merriman to DeMarcus Ware. So if you went and looked at their board for the last 364 days before that, you would see Merriman up there. And then the day of, they switched off to DeMarcus Ware.
Oh,
that's how much it changes. Like, it really does. So I, even for me, I don't fully dive in until, like, this weekend right here. I go, I'm away right now. And then I dive in Monday, and I start going because I know that nobody has their board set until – man, these next, 10 days coming up, starting Monday, that's when things really, and even like next week, it won't even be that much. It'll be the week after that. They really start setting things in stone.
He's on Twitter at Jay
that's
Glazer.
That's the truth, folks.
That's a great, next time we have Merriman, I'm going to tell him that. Hey, dude, here's what you were. You almost
you were supposed to be a cowboy.
You were a cowboy for 364 days.
No, I've told him. He knows. I've told him.
At Jay Glazer, that is at Jay Glazer. Awesome stuff as always, buddy. And of course, vetsandplayers.org. Appreciate your time as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun.
Can't wait to do this for you guys.
Oh, thanks, Jay. You're the awesome best, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A big day in the National Football League today because we got the official over-under win totals by the Vegas sports books, right? And this is it's a great, great day. Odds makers for William Hill opened up everything today. Caesars Sportsbook is phenomenal, right? Caesars made big headlines yesterday, partnering with the National Football League today. We had the Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, and we got everybody's over-under win totals for the season. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time tonight talking about the best overs and the best under bets. Like, which team, okay, I think they're clearly going to get over their win total. Which team, I see them going clear under their win total. So why don't we start with some unders? How does that sound?
Yeah, let's get it on.
All right, very good. The best under win totals. The first one that jumps out at me, the Steelers. Steelers over-under win total is at 9. Now, granted, there's one more game this year. Remember, there's 17 games. So when you do over-under, it's not 16, it's 17. So you're thinking about 9-8, right? You're thinking about, are the Steelers really going to go 10-7? Under for the Steelers. This is going to be one of those shockingly down years in Pittsburgh. It's the last year for Ben Roethlisberger. He showed he's at the end. He showed his arm strength isn't there. The Steelers are more the team that played the last six or so games of the season than they were the team that started 11-0. They had a lot of difficulties. They had a lot of issues. And I don't see them suddenly making a jump this year and getting over and getting to 10 wins. This is going to be one of those years where the Steelers go, okay, this is it for Ben. And now we have to retool and we have to reload because this is not our year. They were not a really good team at the end of last year, and it's not like they brought in a lot to get better this year. It's going to be a down year for the Steelers.
All right, let's go game by game at Baltimore. Okay. We got to wait for the actual schedule to come out, and then we'll do all that. They do play the Raiders and the Bears. So opportunities abound. I'm not so quick to bear him. I think 9 is a good number. The division better. A lot of it's going to depend on how much better Cincinnati is.
We'll have more on Cincinnati. We'll get to that.
But the point is that still 2 wins? Or is it not? Right? Because if that's 2 wins, because you know they're still going to get 1 against Cleveland.
Yeah, but that's the thing now. It's not that way anymore. It's not like you're going to get 2 wins over Cleveland and 2 wins over Cincinnati guaranteed, which was always what the Steelers used to try to, hey, look, we win 10, 11 games a year because in our division we're losing 1 game. We lose 1 game to the Ravens. That's what it was. We'll split with the Ravens in a game where the hitting is so hard your teeth fall out, and then we'll sweep the Bengals and we'll sweep the Browns. It doesn't happen anymore.
Something I always have to remind folks whenever, because this is one of the great arguments that folks that still prop up nonsense against Tom Brady do. Go back and look at who Peyton Manning was playing all those years. Look at most of the NFC South for a very long time in Drew Brees' run. Let's make sure we take it all in. All right, so you got the Steelers as an over. You're not buying. I'm still not giving the Dolphins 9.
Oh, you Tua, you're a Tua hater. You're such a Tua hater.
No. I think he's going to make a dramatic jump. I like the program they're building there, except for your team. Because, look, the Jets are the Jets. Like, there's not going to be a lot of easy wins on the schedule. And just saying they play hard, maybe they overachieved last year with because Ryan Fitzpatrick never really turned into a pumpkin. Right, he broke the streak in that regard. So I'll take the under on that one.
All right. I'm going to give you the under on the Texans, even though it's only 5. Okay. I'm still taking the under on the Texans because
it's 4.5, buddy.
It's a terrible team. They won 4 games last year, and they're not going to have Deshaun Watson this year. How are they going to win? I mean, really, it's a bad roster. It didn't get better. And you're not going to have one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. No matter what happens, you're not going to have him. So how are you going to win more games? I mean, really, it's that simple. Texans, 5, I'm taking the under. You had Deshaun Watson all year last year. You won 4 games. Now you're not going to have him. How are you going to win more than 4 games? I'm easily taking the under on the Texans.
You don't believe in Tyrod Taylor and Mark Ingram?
No. No, not for more than 4 wins.
All right, I'll leave that. Yeah, I'll leave that there.
Not believe it.
I'll take the under on the Giants. They ain't winning 8 games. Their over-under is at 7.
7. Giants are one of those teams where I could say, boy, I'm with you, but then I can go, you know, I could see the Giants for no good reason winning like 4 games in a row, and it's like, why? There's no reason they should have won these games, but it's what the Giants do.
Yeah, I mean, Quadzilla's so. Back. I haven't yeah. buried Danny Dimes yet. But does right. that but does that translate to W's? And yeah. I don't think it does.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon giving you our official over-under. The under win totals we love as the official over-unders for all 32 NFL teams came out today. I'm going to give you the under for the Eagles. All right, the Eagles are at 7. All right, now I've told you Jalen Hurts is going to be a huge stat guy this year. He's going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback, but it's going to be a lot of empty yards and games where they just get killed because this is a bad roster. And even though the NFC East is not good, the Cowboys will be a little bit better than last year. They got Dak back. Washington is clearly going to be a better team. The Giants are the Giants. The Eagles, look, they lost their quarterback. Now they're bringing in a new head coach, and it's going to be a new system, and it's new everything, and there's not a lot of talent. I'm going way under for the Eagles. Their 7 win total.
Joe Flacco is elite. What are you talking about?
He's elite. Yes.
You know,
he's still elite.
You had Houston. I'm going to look at the Colts with 10. Is their over under? They're not winning 11 games. It's just not happening. Carson Wentz might find some of that magic, that old magic working with Frank Reich, and maybe it flows a little bit better for him professionally. But I don't buy that they run roughshod and that the wins pile up. Might be more aesthetically pleasing. And they had a good run with Phillip Rivers. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. They've got some good component parts. I'm just not buying in that suddenly Carson Wentz rediscovers that one-year MVP because he's always going to have Nick Foles' statue living in his head rent-free.
Now, the last team I like the under for, I have to preface this by saying, if my hot take doesn't come true, which my hot take from last night was that the Niners traded up to number 3, knowing full well Aaron Rodgers is going to tell the Packers right before the draft, blank you, you're trading me to San Francisco, and I'm never playing for you again. And the Niners go, hey, here's the number 3 overall pick. That's why we got it, to give it to you for Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, can I stop you right there? I had people asking me today, were you smoking the purple Urkel, or what were you doing? The purple Urkel from 710 Labs? Yeah.
That's a thing?
Is that your thing? Yeah, it's a thing now.
Mm.
Okay, whether if that was the strain you were working on.
I thought that was something from Family Matters that I didn't see. I didn't know what that was.
Well, he was always working in the labs. You don't think he was just sitting idly by? It's time for a reboot where Urkel's now, you know, Walter White.
Did I do that? Say my name.
I am the teacher. And then he becomes Stefan Urkel. I mean, come on. It's beautiful.
Skyler. Okay. Going under the assumption this is the team, doesn't matter who they draft or they draft Mac Jones at number 3. I'm going under for the 49ers. 10 wins is way too much. All right, this is a good team, but it's not a great team. All right, they're not the 49ers of 2 years ago and suddenly, okay, they were the Super Bowl, then they had injury issues, now they're going to bounce back. I'm not buying it. All right, short of if they get Aaron Rodgers, okay, but I got to tell you, because that's a hot take, that if I'm right on that, I may just retire and just live off that the rest of my life. But if they don't get, even if they get Mac Jones or Justin Fields, whoever they wind up taking at number 3, this is not a great team. And 10 wins to say they're going to win 11 games? No. I'm going under for the 49ers. I feel great. I feel great about the Niners being under 10, just about as more so than maybe any other one, except, you know, the Texans under 5, because they're going to be absolutely terrible.
I think what you need to do is go and grab some video of this and put a, you know, floating dates and whatever you need to do. And then one, if it should come to pass, you sell it as a one-of-one NFT. And you're rich. I've never seen a situation when these win totals come out where you've got a team at 10.5 wins and expectations thereby being huge when there's a giant question mark at the quarterback position if I were to draw out the all 22. It generally doesn't work that way. I'm just calling it what it is.
Twitter at how about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. So there you go. There are our NFL under win totals, the teams we like the most. You heard Mike's. I like Pittsburgh, Houston for the under, Philadelphia with the under, and the 49ers with the under. But
If they get Aaron Rodgers, then I would take the over. Then we go to Green Bay and we say, okay, let's take the under on Green Bay, because then you're talking about Jordan Love trying to win games.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is what happened tonight to the team who now owns the worst record in the American League. And when I say if things don't get better by June, their manager's going to be fired, I am talking about this team, because they came out tonight against the Rays and they got pounded, and here's how their defeat sounded.
Here's Strickland throwing. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on three pitches. And the ball game is over, and the Rays have won their first game in New York City here in the 2021 season. They open up the series and the road trip with a resounding 8-2 win against the Yanks.
WDAE Rays Radio Network on the call. It was that kind of night for the Yankees. Now, listen, I told you at the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about this tonight. There's no manager with more pressure on him than Aaron Boone. And if the Yankees are floundering by the beginning of June, he's going to pay for it with his job. It's just how it has to work at this point. The Yankees have been close but haven't broken through under Aaron Boone. The talent is there, and at some point it's all going to turn. And this is when it's going to turn. If they're not good, if they're 10 games out, if they are under 500 and not going anywhere, and it's a bad vibe, they're going to change managers, all right? It's gotten to a point where it's combustible. Aaron Boone is already talking about just exactly what the season is like so far, and the Yankees are really in trouble. Quote, adversity is going to hit us at some point. It's certainly at our doorstep right now. We've got to answer it. We got to find out what kind of club we are when we're going through a tough time. This is Aaron Boone after the game tonight, all right? This is 13 games into the season. All right, adversity is here, and we got to hit it. This is when most teams are going, adversity. We're 5-8. We're not 1-14. We're 5-8. It's different with the Yankees. It just is, because you have an impatient fan base who, for 4 years, have been told we have all these great young hitters and all these great young sluggers, and we signed Gerrit Cole, and the guy wins and strikes out 13 guys every 5 days. How are we not getting to the World Series? And if they're underachieving, it's going to be Aaron Boone. And already things are bad. The Yankees were booed off the field tonight in the fourth inning of this game. Okay, you're getting booed off the field in the middle of a game when you're 5-7. You're 3 weeks into the baseball season, not even, already fans are booing you. And they get so mad. This was the scene in the eighth inning when it was 8-2 Rays, and the fans knew the Yankees were going to lose.
Ball got loose in the outfield. Well, they're throwing things on. There's a couple of other, man. A lot of balls are, looks like they're coming from the stands. I don't know why there would be that many people with baseballs. That's just wrong.
Stop coming out of the stands. Please,
you got to be better than that.
Objects onto the field. Thank you.
And being announced over the, and they just keep coming. And Rosarena. Somebody's going to get hurt, too. The umpires should pull them off the field. That's not what you want. That's disgraceful. Somebody could get hurt for absolutely no reason. And now another ball goes out towards shortstop. I mean, you know the fans are frustrated the way the team is playing right now, but that is not the way to show it, and not the way to show it toward the Tampa Bay Rays. Not a good look. Not a good look at all.
Michael
K, baseball giveaway. Yes,
I like how he said, who knew all these baseballs were all coming
from? Well, that's just it. I'm trying to look on their website. Was it a baseball giveaway day?
It was all the Yankee fans going, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the souvenir stand right out here. I'm going to get a baseball and throw it on the field. Who's with?
Because legitimately,
yeah, let's go buy them.
Yeah, if it's an officially licensed Major League Baseball, those are like $25 a piece now. It's not like the old days when it was like you can go buy them at the corner. You know, you can go to Modell's or whatever and buy them for $9. Like, those are expensive now. So I can't believe a bunch of folks would randomly show up. So I were they all commemorative balls? Like, what? That's a lot of hate. And I'm the first to tell you, look, folks are trying to find their outlet to scream. I mean, we talked to Jay Glazer last hour. How giddy is he to be back and just hitting people? and sparring in his gym. Like he's like a little kid. And I think this is it too, but I need more on the baseball. That's a great story to go ferret out details. Why?
I'm telling you, this is how it is already. I mean, this tells you it's a part of it is New York because, you know, look, they certainly feel differently about their teams. Every game, look, as a Met fan, I can tell you, every game is either the best or the worst,
yeah.
Right?
Rise of Lightning, baby. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. No other team, it's like, dude, you lost tonight. Yeah, but it was such a crushing loss tonight. It was so crushing. Dude, what are you talking about? You're 30-25. No, tonight was a horrible loss. Edwin Diaz, we're going to lose like 12 in a row now. Yes, every game is made up, and the wins and losses are extremely made more of than they are. But that's just how it is. I mean, you can like it or not like it and say, I disagree. But that's just how it is. And already fans are at this point with the team where they're throwing stuff on the field, they're booing, and you know what? How many games can you have like this before you say we have to make a change? How many times are Brian Cash and Yankee ownership going to go to games and watch fans boo the Yankees off the field or throw baseballs on the field or continue to show their displeasure before the Yankees make a change? I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, look, it's not always a manager's fault. It's not always that fault. But you know who told me once was Steve Phillips, who actually I did an interview once, and I said to him about, you know, when fans want to fire managers and GMs and legitimacy of it. And he says, you know, he goes, that's just how it works. He said, listen, I knew as a GM, and if you're a manager, you know that if the team is not playing well, then you're the ones that are going to pay for it. And that's just how it goes in Major League Baseball. You're going to wind up getting fired. If you're the manager of a team that's underachieving, guess what? There's going to be a new manager. If you're the GM of a team that's underachieving, guess what? There's going to be a new GM. And you can't talk about how important the fans are, but clearly when the fans are revolting against you and acting out in this way, a change is going to have to come. And if if the Yankees aren't playing well, Aaron Boone already is like, hey, let me ring this bell right now. Now, why is Aaron Boone ringing this bell? Is everything done for the Yankees? No. Yes, they have the worst record in Major League Baseball. I get it. They're four games out of first place. Again, we're 13 games in. But Aaron Boone knows if the Yankees are still 3 or 4 or 5 games under 500, they have the worst record in American League the first week of June, Aaron Boone's not going to be around for that turnaround. Somebody else in the Yankee dugout going, okay, we're going to try to figure things out now. It's not going to be him. So he is sounding this alarm now because he knows if it goes on for another 6 or 7 weeks, he's not going to be around after it's done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Big day in the NFL because we now got the NFL over-under win totals for 2021 because the Caesars in Vegas, William Hill Sportsbook, has come out with the official numbers for all the teams in the National Football League. And it's a big day because it tells you exactly, hey, this is what Vegas thinks of your team's win total. So you look at them, go, I see the Jets at 6, and I go, yeah, probably about 6. We don't know who our quarterback's going to be. Okay. Now, last hour or a couple hours ago, we did our favorite NFL under win totals, which we'll do again coming up in a few minutes. But now, over the course of the next few minutes, we're going to do our best over win totals that we like for this coming season. I'm going to kick things off in the AFC, and I'll give you one, you give me one. I'll give you Jacksonville at 6. All right, this to me is just a sucker's bet. Right, they went out and really improved their team in the offseason. They're going to add Trevor Lawrence. Okay, this is not a team that, they're bereft of talent. No, they have a pretty good running back. They got a couple of pretty good weapons. 6 games is not a lot. All right, you remember Trevor Lawrence is the real thing for a reason, and this is a team that made those other improvements in the offseason. You got to get your defense to at least just middle of the pack. Over under, I'm taking the Jaguars over for 6 wins. That's an easy one for me.
Oh, I love the cut of your jib, and you got the word bereft in.
So I like bereft. Good. Bereft is one of my favorite words. I like bereft.
That's good. Normally, it's accompanied by the soundtrack to Fix You.
It's not Coldplay. It's not Fix You.
I'm going to look at the Washington football team, as they're currently known. The over-under is sitting at 8 wins. With that defense and functional quarterback play with McLaurin and Gibson there, I'll take the over in the NFC East.
You know, I looked at Washington and I thought, I like everything going on, but am I really sold on them quarterback-wise? I think yes. I am. It's, you know, 8-9, but the Cowboys are going to be better. You know, the Giants aren't that great. That was a tough one for me because I looked at Washington for a long time. And while
you hate the Eagles, so, you know.
True, yeah.
So that's why I bolstered the Washington football team here.
You know, look, and I like their quarterback room. You know, I think it's absolutely the right spot right now because you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, you've got Taylor Heineke. Hey, you're in a pretty good spot, but boy, is Ryan Fitzpatrick still going to be that guy? Is he still going to be someone that can sling it up and down the field? That's the one thing that held me back from picking Washington.
Well, as long as he doesn't shave too much off the beard, you know what happened to Samson.
One more, I'll give you. I will give you the Cincinnati Bengals. Over their win total of 6.5. Joe Burrow is the real thing. Okay, they were close to, they were 4-11-1 last year, and the guy missed over half the season. He is the real thing. He's one of those quarterbacks that makes other players better. They upgraded their defense in a big way this offseason. I'm a big buyer on the Bengals. You know me, I'm not high on the Steelers. Kind of a hint of what we're going to have coming up. But Cincinnati, over 6.5, book it for me. I love that for the Bengals.
Ready? Controversy for you, baby.
Uh-oh.
Give me the over. The New England Patriots at 9.
Woo!
I will take the over. Everybody's coming back. A lot of money spent. And still, best hoodie wearing coaching son of a gun, as I'm looking at a picture of Ric Flair on my computer. Straight shooting son of a gun that you're going to find. And whether it's Cam or whether it's Jimmy, they're getting the job done.
Jimmy.
Coaching matters.
You know, you said everybody's coming back, and that's great, but remember, that also means Cam Newton is coming back. So not everybody
you know what?
Coming
with
back
the year
is always a good thing.
With the full offseason, I'm confident. Look, I still don't know about that shoulder. But they were 7-9. But they were 7-9 and they had no talent whatsoever. Default, just adding those two tight ends tells me I get at least one more win out of this squad. And he's not going to get COVID again.
I would rather you tell me I don't care who the quarterback is. They can direct snap the ball to Belichick and they're going to win more than 7 games.
You know what? That may be the case. Okay. How about that? Yeah, go with that. But either way, it also means that they're still kicking the snot out of your Jets, and that's all that matters.
Wow. Now you're getting all chesty.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Well, we've talked a lot about our NFL over-under win totals for today because today Caesars put out the official over-under win totals for all 32 NFL teams. And we've told you the team so far we like the under on and team so far we like the over on. We had a couple a few minutes ago, and now Mike and I each have two more teams that we like the over on this season in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you one team that I think I was early on last year. I love the over for the Arizona Cardinals at 8. I don't think it's going to be, you know, crazy over 8, but they started out like a playoff team, and then they weren't able to adjust after teams were able to keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. I'd like to think after an offseason where they brought in some more leadership and looked, did they overpay for it? Absolutely, 100%. But they brought in more leadership. They brought in some talent. That's going to get them over the hump, and I like Arizona over 8 wins this season.
I'm looking all the way at the bottom. I'm just going, the Lions can't be under 5, can they?
You know who their quarterback is, right, buddy?
The guy did take him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Did he take him there, or did he get to go along?
I'm saying is along the way, he made plays. He made some plays. Likewise, you know, I went after Carson Wentz a little bit. I didn't like the way the reports are that he kind of did Operation Shutdown in the Jalen Hurts situation. But remember, both those guys did contribute to teams that went to or won a Super Bowl. And now they're treated like they're Sam Darnold. Oh, see what I did there?
Wow.
Because there's a lot of folks looking to defend Sam Darnold at every turn right now.
Mm-hmm. He's trash.
So I'm looking at Carolina at their 7.5. But no, Detroit at 5. The big thing here is, where are the wideouts? But the over-under of 5? Come on. I can at least match that. I can get a push, can I?
Can I just get a push and 5?
All I need is 6 games, man.
I'm going to give you, for my final team, not only will they go over their win total, they will have the best record in the NFC. I am completely buying in on the Rams over 10.5 wins. It's a lot. 10.5 is a lot to say, but sure. Matthew Stafford is going to be exactly what they need. We know what he's going to do. He's going to throw 30 touchdowns, about 10 picks. He's going to throw for 4,300 yards, and that's a far cry from what Jared Goff does. The team has everything else. Now they got a quarterback that they know what he's going to give them that can push the ball downfield. He's exactly what they need. I feel great about the over win total for the Rams.
Ready? Over 10.5. Allen and Trubisky.
Oh,
let's go.
Look at you.
Bills, you know.
I like how you made it like Mitchell Trubisky's going to actually be a part of it.
Well, he's part of the team. Got his jersey number. They're going to get a jersey with the number 8 here any day now.
That's like, who was the guy that on the night when they said, do you remember this night? He goes, yeah, that was a night that Wilt Chamberlain and I combined to score 102 points. I had 2 and Wilt had 100. You know,
I can't fault a good strategy. Hey, that's how you attach yourself to a great moment and great opportunity.
I mean, you went all up and down about how much you like Josh Allen all last year, and now you've thrown in Trubisky like, hey, Trubisky's there too. No, you can't do that to the guy, man.
No, competition breeds even more success.
Can you imagine if Sean McDermott said, yeah, I'm throwing the quarterback chop open. You got to beat out Mitchell Trubisky.
No. You know me. Those are my two guys I banged the drum for. Those guys and like Lamar Jackson, those would be the 3 guys that I banged the drum for more in the National Football League than anywhere.
If Mitchell Trubisky has to play, that win total's going way under 10.5.
You know what? You go to hell.